In a region with as many outdoor attractions as ours, you could stock a whole library with books about the natural wonders and the exploring of them. Our next guest wants to add another book to that library. John Sorries focuses on the majestic redwoods of Northern California in his latest work on great hikes. It's called Hike the Parks, Best Day Hikes, Walks, and Sites, Redwood National and State Parks. John Sorries is a dedicated hiker and writer of hiking. This is a return visit to the Jefferson Exchange. John was here in June last year to talk about a fourth edition of 100 Classic Hikes Northern California and Day Hiking Mount Shasta, Lassen, and Trinity Alps regions. You must have really strong leg muscles, John Sorries.
I do. I do an awful lot of hiking.
Well, let's see if we can get your microphone on. Okay, there we go.
Yes, I do a lot of hiking, and I really enjoy it, and I was especially grateful to get the opportunity to write Hike the Parks, Redwood National and State Parks. It's a place I've loved ever since I went there the first time I was a teenager, and I saw those big, beautiful trees soaring up into the sky. It was so peaceful and quiet. And then the oceans, they're also incredible and beautiful. People think of the region of Redwood National and State Parks, which runs from a bit north of Arcata up to Crescent City. They think of it as, oh, it's the redwoods, but there's also some of the most beautiful scenery on the entire West Coast is right there.
So this is a chance to bring it all together into one volume and not only look at the trees, but look at the forest and everything else.
Yes, absolutely. And Redwood National and State Parks is actually a unique cooperation agreement between four different parks, one federal park, Redwood National Park, and then three California state parks from south to north, Prairie Creek Redwood State Park, Del Norte Coast Redwoods State Park, and then Jedediah Smith Redwoods State Park. They decided to pool their resources and make things more efficient, and they're able to better serve visitors and do it more efficiently.
There's an important sidebar early in the book about the redwoods and changing climate. What are you and scientists noticing going on?
Well, scientists are, of course, very interested in what climate change is doing to all parts of the planet. And, of course, they are interested in what is happening to the redwoods. There are a lot of factors that go into that, and the scientists could explain that better than I can. But redwoods need a minimum amount of precipitation to continue to live and reproduce. And they also need a substantial amount of fog in the summertime because they're able to use moisture from the fog to keep themselves alive. So the question of climate change really has to do with changing precipitation patterns, especially down in the southern part of the range. The redwoods range from the Chetco River just across the border of California and Oregon all the way down to Monterey County. So the precipitation patterns, to the extent that those shift, that could hurt redwoods if precipitation declines. And then if there are factors that mean that there's less fog in the summertime, that would also really hurt redwoods. But there's a lot of factors in play there with that.
All right. So people who complain about the fog because it's making it hard to see the trees actually have to realize that the fog is part of the reason the trees are there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And people need to realize that summer is a great time to go to Redwood National and State Parks because it is cool and foggy, but they need to remember that it is cool and foggy. Take pants, take layers, make sure you have something long sleeve and that you're prepared for that. But most days, the fog clears up by late morning to early afternoon, even on the coast. Not all days, though.
All right. You mentioned the instructions just now, wear pants, things like that. There's even instructions on how to fight a bear. Please tell me this is a very rare occurrence.
It is a very, very rare occurrence. There are bears over there. I lived in the area from 2000 to 2005, the last 2.5 years or so on 5 acres down in southern Del Norte County. And I definitely saw quite a few bears on my property and lots of bear sign all over my property, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
But it would be rare for you to encounter a bear there. And if you did, they would almost certainly hightail it. The campgrounds all have bear lockers for you to put your food inside the bear locker to make things a little safer.
So the food isn't out there for the bears to come by and cause you some grief. You give a bunch of other safety and preparation instructions. And one of them is just about the general way of approaching things in the Redwoods. I gather that people can get fairly disoriented in there.
They can. For one thing, GPS does not work very well at all in the Redwoods. The trees interfere with the signals, so don't count on your phone or any other device telling you where to go. You need to revert back to the skills that we have inherited from our ancestors to know where you are geographically in space and to remember landmarks. Also, take advantage of the maps in my book, if you get my book. But more importantly, especially the three state parks have excellent trail maps in them. If you use those trail maps, and you definitely should use those trail maps, make sure that you're always paying attention to where you are and where the trail forks are and things like that, because you get in the Redwoods and they are different, but after a while they can look the same and you oftentimes can't look out and see a mountain or something like that. You are just in the forest. You really have to pay attention.
Aside from the way that the streams tend to move through the area, I noticed that the map of the area around Hiuchi, because of the way that the river and the road and the trails all curve, I was thinking, isn't north that way? And then I realized, no, the orientation's right on this map. So lots of interesting stuff. The book is called Hike the Parks, Best Day Hikes, Walks, and Sights, Redwood National and State Parks. John Souris, who lives in Ashland and spent several years living on the north coast of California in the area he's writing about here, put the book together. A lot to talk about. You can join the conversation by phone and email when we return from this break. 800-838-3760 is the phone number. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Back to talk more about the Redwoods and hiking in the Redwood National and State Parks on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 25. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of JPR, I'm Jeffrey Riley. John Souris is our guest. He's an Ashland writer who does a lot of hiking and a lot of writing about hiking. His latest book is called Hike the Parks, Best Day Hikes, Walks, and Sights, Redwood National and State Parks. It takes in the Redwood National Park and the three state parks, all run cooperatively on the northern coast of California. And lots of great places to visit that we'll talk about in the next few minutes. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You end up with 38 different hikes here, John. Could there have been more?
Yes, there could have been more. But I have hiked all of these hikes many times. When I lived there for those 5 years, I was all over the place doing these hikes. I picked the 38 hikes that I think are the ones that really capture the essence of the region and the ones that people are really going to want to do and then return to do time and time again. So it's the best of the best.
The hikes do range from easy to challenging. What might people miss if they just choose to stick to the easier hikes?
They will miss solitude, for one thing. In almost any situation, when you go to a national park where a lot of people visit, if you just stay close on the main trails that are close to the main road, you're going to share that with a lot of people. Once you start going a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles away from a trailhead, that's when you're truly going to get the solitude. For example, one of my favorite trails is the Ossegon Trail in Prairie Creek Redwood State Park. It is an upside-down hike, which means you descend for the first half, and then you have to ascend for the second half. Uh-huh. And it's not really a difficult hike, but it's one that not too many people do, in part because there is a lot of elevation gain on the end. But you start in beautiful redwoods, then you go down through Sitka spruce, and then you end at the ocean at a beach where just about every time I've been there, I haven't seen anybody else. So there's this gorgeous beach near Ossegon Rocks. There's also a lot of Roosevelt elk down there, so it's a great place to see Roosevelt elk.
I was going to ask about elk. There are a couple of places that you recommend going to see the elk, and they don't seem too bothered by people, and people don't get bothered by them.
That is basically true. They are, for the most part, pretty relaxed animals. You just want to be careful to give them their space. People think, oh, they're gentle. I can walk up close to them. I've seen people going up 10 feet away and clicking their cameras and taking these pictures. But you get too close, especially between a mama and her baby, or just near a mama and her baby, and you can have several hundred pounds of elk charging at you.
Okay, not the kind of thing you want to have happening. So stay clear of the wildlife. That's our second warning on that. There's a section early in the book called Planning Your Trip, where you actually provide some itineraries. So, a chance to hit some of these places. What kinds of highlights did you arrange in those itineraries?
I gave a mix. So I would give what I consider to be the best representative hikes of the region, and then also other things to do, like beaches to visit, or a really beautiful drive to do, or really special viewpoints to check out. For example, there's the Coastal Drive, which is just north of Prairie Creek Redwood State Park, that runs for about 3 miles. It goes by old historic sites and then little side trails where you can look down over the ocean. And that's one of the key highlights. And those are the things that I include in that feature.
In terms of when to visit the Redwoods, I mean, it's not like you'll ever get snowbound in the Redwoods, but are there best times that you've found for maximum prettiness and minimum encounters with other people?
That would be not the summer. Mm-hmm. So the summer is when it is both really crowded and really foggy. We like it when it's foggy because it's hot for us here. Most of us in your listening area, some of them live over on the coast, but the majority of them live inland where it's really hot in the summer. And when we think about, that cool fog on the Redwood Coast, we want that. But if you want sunshine on the Redwood Coast, the best time to go is in the fall and the spring. October into November, April, even into May. Even in wintertime, you can get periods of really clear weather where the winds are calm, the high is 50 degrees, and you can just see forever. You get on the edge of a cliff over the ocean, and you just see the far horizon, just where the curve of the earth is, where the ocean goes away. So, yeah, it's important to pay attention to the seasons and not think that it's just a summer destination.
John Soares is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He hikes a lot and writes about hiking. His latest book is called Hike the Parks, Best Day Hikes, Walks, and Sights, Redwood National and State Parks. You can join us at 800-838-3760. Share your story of a great hike in the Redwoods. You can also send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. I did notice that for people who want to bring dogs on the trails, this is generally a no-go for a lot of this territory, but there are some trails that will allow some dogs.
Yes, there are a few trails. You can figure for just a blanket rule for California state parks. On almost all of the trails, you cannot bring your dog, period. A few of them may have one place where you can take your dog on a leash. And that is the case, for example, in Prairie Creek Redwood State Park. There is Cal Barrel Road, which is a dirt road, and you can take your dog on a leash there. There are other places in the area where you can take your dog. For example, Smith River National Recreation Area, which is to the east of Jedediah Smith Redwood State Park. I have two hikes in there that are in the book, the Myrtle Creek Trail and the Craigs Creek Trail. On those two trails, you can take your dogs. There's also a couple of beaches around there where you can take your dog. In addition, on the north side or the northwest side of Crescent City is Point St. George the Point St. George Heritage Area. That's a place where you can take your dogs. And when I lived in Crescent City, I had two golden retrievers. I went there hundreds of times. Mm-hmm. In part because it's incredibly beautiful, but also because I could take my dogs and let them do their thing.
All right, but the rule rather than the exception in the Redwoods, it sounds like, is no dogs.
Right, so no dogs. And that typically follows for national parks, too. They're usually very strict about dogs, right. So check ahead.
We've talked a little bit about the wildlife, a bit about bears and elk. I had to laugh when I saw the picture of the banana slug. It seems to ooze off the page. Are those fairly common sights in the Redwoods?
They're fairly common, and just a little word of advice, make sure that you look down at the trail as you're going along, not the whole time, but enough that if you see a flash of yellow in front of you that you're able to, you know, step over it. So definitely pay attention. It's never happened to me, but you know,
that was my next question.
Yes, you want to watch where you're going.
So the book is organized in five regions from south to north along 101, Trinidad to Oryk, Redwood National Park near Oryk, Prairie Creek Redwood State Park, Klamath River to Crescent City, and then Jedediah Smith Redwoods State Park. And we've touched on some of these in turn. You provide some road logs in the book too. Tell us about those.
The road logs are there to help people get oriented to the region and then also to help them find everything. I give detailed instructions about how to find all the trailheads. I really make that an important focus of what I do. The road log just helps you organize it all. And the road logs also include sites that are not detailed in other parts of the book, but here's a beautiful overlook on Highway 101 where you can see the ocean and Wilson Creek Beach, for example, things like that.
It's really helpful, too, because you have the mileage down to the tenths, so you can check versus your odometer and see where you are.
Exactly. And if you're going to use that, it's a good idea to use that odometer, and we all have the reset and the trip things, so you can start at zero and figure it out. Sometimes you have to do a little math in your head, but that's good exercise.
It is. Let's talk about some of the individual sites here. Lady Bird Johnson Grove. Was Lady Bird Johnson, President Lyndon Johnson's wife, ever actually there?
Yes, she was there. Yeah, she did go there for the dedication ceremony.
Uh-huh. And what makes this particular grove majestic or otherwise worth a look?
Well, there are lots of beautiful areas in the Redwoods. I very much like the Lady Bird Johnson Grove. The grove itself does not necessarily have trees that are exceptionally, you know, large or remarkable. It's a great place to hike, especially when you're going up Bald Hills Road. So it's definitely worth a visit, but it's famous mostly because it's named for her.
Mm-hmm. And there's a Tall Trees Grove, which I thought is an interesting name for a grove of trees in the Redwoods. There could be a lot of those.
Yes. It's a very obvious name. That is a very special grove. It definitely takes some work to get there. That's another upside down hike where you hike down, do Tall Trees Grove, and then you have to hike back up. But there are some really big, beautiful trees down there. Plus, you have access to Redwood Creek, which is the largest, well, the Smith River is the largest body of water up there, but Redwood Creek is probably the second largest.
So, you know, about the time I was thinking that it seems a little silly to name something Tall Trees Grove, I flipped the page and then got this picture that you show of a signpost with big tree, another big tree, all these arrows attached to that.
Yeah. That's somebody whimsical at Prairie Creek Redwood State Park decided to create that sign. I think it was fantastic.
And there is a place in Prairie Creek Redwoods that is called just Big Tree?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And it's a very big tree.
It's a very, very big tree. It's easily accessible by a couple different trails, but you can also park near it and get to it. And that's something to remember for people that want to visit. Yes, there's lots and lots of hikes you can do, but if you're somebody that can't walk much or has limited mobility, there is a lot that you can see there and enjoy without having to hike 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 miles.
Well, and then there are places where there's wheelchair accessibility de facto. I mean, you actually can get a wheelchair on some of these trails.
You can. And again, Prairie Creek Redwood State Park is the best example of that. There are two trails that leave from the visitor center that are connected to each other, the Redwood Access Trail and the Revelation Trail. There are informational signs along there that explain cool natural facts about the Redwood Forest and related flora and fauna. So, yes, there's definitely several places to go for people that are in wheelchairs.
Okay, so good. Wheelchairs can get in there. Now, how about people who want to take their hikes on two wheels? Is there much mountain biking allowed in the parks? Any?
There is some, and Redwood National Park is the best place to do that. Just north of Oryk and south of Prairie Creek Redwood State Park, there's a series of roads that are excellent for mountain biking.
Okay, good to know. Let's talk about some more individual places here. Lost Man Creek. That's always a scary thing, is it?
Yes.
Named for an obvious reason?
Yeah, that's named for an obvious reason. It is one of my favorite places. It's actually a dirt road. We might think that a dirt road, like, oh, we want a narrow path to walk on. But this dirt road travels through these gorgeous redwood trees right beside Lost Man Creek. So you have this creek, and then you have the redwoods. And what I really like about walking on a dirt road is it allows you to not have to look where your feet are going. Mm-hmm. You can look ahead 30 or 40 feet and see, oh, okay, no roots, no rocks, no banana slugs, no bears crossing. Right. I can keep walking and yet look around at the trees and look at the creek. And then if you have a companion, your companion can walk right beside you.
John Soares is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His latest book on hikes in the region is called Hike the Parks, Best Day Hikes, Walks, and Sights, Redwood National and State Parks. Is there a place, John, unlike any other in the Redwoods, a view angle you can get that is unlike anything else? I guess I'm asking for your favorite place in the Redwoods.
My favorite place in the Redwoods right now, and this can change over time, in Jedediah Smith Redwoods State Park, there is Stout Grove, mm-hmm. and there's a trail in Stout Grove. It's a very popular trail. It's where most people go in Jedediah Smith Redwoods State Park. There is a side trail that goes down to the Smith River. First, it crosses Mill Creek, and then it goes to the Smith River. And just beyond Mill Creek, there's a trail that goes to the left. It's actually the Mill Creek Trail. The Mill Creek Trail and the Hiuchi Trail meet there. Mm-hmm. If you hike on the Hiuchi Trail, just a couple hundred yards to the right there, and then also along the Mill Creek Trail where they meet, there's this grove of trees where the redwoods are spaced pretty far apart. It's an alluvial flat, which is a perfect spot for redwoods to grow large. Hardly anybody goes there because they're all over at Stout Grove. Mm-hmm. But this grove is just magnificent. It's got vine maples growing underneath it. If you go there in October, November, there's all these beautiful golds, and it's just a really special place.
Now, is this one of the places that has been talked about for enhanced visitor amenities? Because I know that some of the places in the Mill Creek Basin are so highly valued by Save the Redwoods League, for example. They want to make sure that they're doing some protection, too, to make sure that people don't stomp all over the roots, for example.
That is an important issue. When you are hiking in the redwoods, stay on the trails or only go where there are officially designated places to go, because a lot of these big trees, the footsteps over time compact the soil, and that means that the soil or the water cannot infiltrate adequately into the soil, and this can cause problems for the trees. Definitely.
You know, obviously hiking in the redwoods is about more than just the redwoods themselves. There are all sorts of interesting things, big and small, to see. And some of the pictures of ferns that you provide in the book, and the book is lavishly illustrated, are really fun to look at, particularly one place where there's some canyon walls that appear to be covered with ferns on one of the hikes.
That is Fern Canyon mm-hmm. and Prairie Creek Redwood State Park. Very popular place. Should definitely be on your list to visit when you go there. It's right next to the ocean, so you can do Fern Canyon, and then you can go get your ocean time, too.
There's another place I have to ask about, Damnation Creek.
Yes. That's another upside-down hike and a very, very steep one. Right now, there's a bridge that is out at the very bottom of the trail there, so you can't quite get to the beach there, but that's a great hike, even if you don't make it to the beach.
Of the really challenging hikes, does there one that offers perhaps a bigger payoff than the others in scenery or some other end-of-trail prize?
The Little Bald Hills Trail from Jedediah Smith from Howland Hill Road mm-hmm. starts in Redwoods, then goes through Douglas Fir, then ends up on a ridge, a bald ridge, And from that ridge, there's Jeffrey pines up there, which usually don't grow that low, but because of the soil conditions, the serpentine soils, it really affects what plants can grow. Up there, you get really good views over forests and ridges, and you can see the ocean. And that is, to me, a really, really interesting hike, not for the redwoods, but for all the variety, and then for the solitude, too.
And if it's near Howland Hill Road, this is fairly close to Stout Grove, isn't it?
Yes, it's actually right across from Stout Grove.
Okay. So final question, John, because we're almost out of time, is do you ever find yourself taking the redwoods for granted?
No, I do not find myself taking the redwoods for granted. They are really special and important for me, and they are truly, they are a heritage of the entire world and humanity. So we need to protect them and respect them and visit them.
You have a couple of appearances coming up, is that right?
I do. On Wednesday, August 7th at 6:30 p.m., I'll be giving a presentation on Redwood and National and State Parks at the Medford REI. Mm-hmm. Then the next night, Thursday, August 8th, also at 6:30, I'll be giving the same presentation at Northwest Nature Shop here in Ashland, Oregon.
Okay, the book is called Hike the Parks, Best Day Hikes, Walks, and Sights, Redwood National and State Parks by John Sorries, an inveterate hiker and writer. Thanks so much for sharing your stuff with us again.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeffrey.